This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, Noahic Prophecy and End of Days, Part 6, Sure Mercies. There is a way for all, but enter therein. While judgment comes, the sure mercies of David have been offered to all men. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 20th day of April, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are in Leviticus, starting at chapter 16, through chapter 20, verse 21. Amos, chapter 9, verses 7 through 15. Also Ezekiel chapter 20 verses 2 through 20 and 22 verses 1 through 19. The New Testament portion is found in Luke chapter 2 starting at verse 1 through 4, chapter 4 verse 44. Go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or GetHealthyYoungLiving.com to read the latest articles by The Watchman and listen to the shows. The newest article, Sound the Shofar, It's Dangerous Now. The shofar used to warn the people, announce holy days, and special gatherings is used predominantly in Scripture. We see it as a shofar, a trumpet, and an instrument used to warn or announce. Revelation uses trumpets, and in these days we must sound the shofar. It's dangerous now. Ascendancy of the vilest shall not prevail forever. America today is overcome with the vilest men, but they shall not prevail forever. Occupy till the kingdom comes and be faithful. The Christian occupation. Occupy till I come. Joins with our being faithful, illustrated by the parables of the 10 minas. Christians can live life and be faithful. There is no shortage of redemptive power for the believer living today. Check out the Get Healthy Radio's latest show, Healing Health Harvest, Healthy Young Living or Living Young as You Grow Old. And you can listen to that from GetHealthyYoungLiving.com or the front pages of Warn-USA or DanaGlennSmith.com. You can follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/WarnRadio. We also have three Twitter accounts, hashtag WatchmanIS216. Hashtag Warn Radio or hashtag WGS_Watchman. And tonight on the show, The Sure Mercies of David is on the agenda for Part 6 of Noahic Prophecy. It is those sure mercies coming from a loving God who sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. The war is on for souls and the devil is mad that men may find mercy. The nations rage against the Lord and His anointed psalm, too. Reminds us. Here is the choice of men, whether to choose mercy or to ignore it and face God's judgment. For God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. This offer is open for all to come to the light, but many will never come to the light because they love darkness more. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good.
Indeed, we are here. We got one more week left in April.
I know, that's incredible.
And, you know, we zipped right through this month. I'm not really sure what happened to it. But it's definitely...
It's okay, though, because that makes us closer to the warm weather.
Yeah. So, at any rate, we were supposed to have a little weather. Of course, we, you know, when we say that, we're emphasizing it could be bad weather. But technically, we all have weather all the time.
Yes, we do.
But we were kind of paying attention because we've had some real nice weather. And then we got a snowstorm, and then we got some more rain come in, which we need. But... you know, the thing of it is that you get one really, really, really nice day. It reminds you of good, you know, spring and summer. Then the weather comes back and slams you with a bunch of snow.
Yeah.
And cold weather. And so that, you know, we don't like that. We're done with that.
Yeah, we don't want any more teasing.
We've moved on from winter.
Yes, that's for sure.
Now, the weather may not have, but we have. We're done.
More than. Well done.
Well done, yeah. Well, we got a lot of stuff to go on this summer. You know, we've got things on our agenda to do and everything like that. But the schedule for the shows will probably pretty much retain what they are. And, of course... we now have our Wednesday Prophecy News, which is 1 hour. And it works out really well this way, too. And so we're going to keep doing that. It works out for the people that listen. It works out for us to get them up. The only thing if it does, we're spending more time now, you know, doing the broadcasting. But it also enables us... in our posts to have regular stuff flowing out of our websites, etc. But at any rate, the news, it's still, I'm going to start calling it toilet water.
Are you?
Yeah. I probably won't remember that, but that's what it is, just toilet water. And I don't mean the perfumey stuff.
Bad smelling.
Oh, it's just been...
Stench.
It is, you know, and people just are crazy today, just like that one woman you were talking about, you know, that, and I read that article, the one I put on our private chat over there,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, they said she looks like anybody's grandmother.
She does.
And, you know, she got caught up, you know, and more than likely she did get... hung up in gambling. And, you know, it seems like it's been a number of years, but we actually talked, we knew someone who had gotten into gambling like that, and they had lost their home and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who that was, but at any rate, we did. You know, and of course, around here, we have the gambling over on the reservation to the west of us, and then we've got... Deadwood over to the east of us, and
people don't get it. They keep going there thinking they're going to win. The towns and the casinos are building up more and more. You'd think they'd get a clue. Helping them build the town. Well, I'm not winning anything.
Over here on the reservation, they're giving away big fancy cars. How do you think they afford the cars?
Yeah.
You know, come up for a weekend. We're giving away a brand new 19, you know, or 2000 whatever, you know.
Oh, I know.
And, well, how can they afford that? Well, they just found a dealer that just wanted to give away, you know, a $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 car, you know. They don't have nothing better to do than give away free cars and get nothing in return. No, no. They know that if they get you in there, you're going to spend money because you're going to want to get that car, and you're willing to go, like a lot of them, and spend more than the price of a car.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that woman got caught, and I'm sorry for her children and grandchildren and her husband's family. I'm sad that that happened to him.
Yes, she was. She had murdered her husband, and you surmise that it's because she had a gambling habit, and they had an argument. They said, there's just so many things that people today are doing,
mm-hmm.
and it's just nuts, you know. And today, more than ever, you need to get in with the Lord.
Oh, amen.
And you need to focus on Him, because the enemy is going to find a way in to cause you trouble if you don't. And, you need to be prayed up. You need to be binding the enemy from your family. You need to be getting into the Word of God, playing the Word of God, keeping it in your heart. But, you know, this news, this fodder mill that they call news, is just ridiculous. And
it's not even worth reading or looking at.
Well, everything is just beyond the pale of idiocy to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But at any rate, that's just one thing or another. I don't know. It just, you think people are crazy, and the Democrats were doing something. What were they doing?
They were suing Trump and Russia, what was that about?
Well, they were suing. They were, because they had lost the election.
Yeah, Hillary lost. So
Hillary lost, so the Democratic National Convention was suing Russia, suing Trump, and I forgot, the Republicans, I don't know, they have a list of them. I don't know how they can sue them, but...
Yeah, how can you sue Russia?
Well, today, the way it is, you can sue practically anybody for anything,
It's ridiculous.
And, of course, you have a bunch of these young punky kids from high schools now making it the news because all the liberals love them because they want to control guns now, because that was the big thing. And so the big money comes in. But I think the biggest news that we have on the globalist front, Soros and his organizations are pulling out of Hungary.
Really?
They are. Since they lost to the election, this guy that won it over there, you and I are talking about.
Yeah.
It, he likes what Trump is doing. He likes, protecting his country, and he was elected by a majority, so they've got it. And Soros is pulling out. That doesn't mean he's not going to try to influence them.
Right. He needs to pull out of America.
And, they need to get this guy gone. But, see, he puts a lot of money into the Democrat pocket and a lot of others.
Oh, yeah.
And there was even Republicans that had money ties to Soros.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
But, see, the way he does it, not everything he does is, so open where you can really see, well, this is definitely globalism, I don't know. No matter what billionaire plans, globalist society, the society that's going to come to pass is the one that's in prophecy. Now, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, is coming. And that's going to be a globalist society, but it's going to be one where there's a dictator, and there's going to be a God on earth, and you're going to have to serve him or die.
Yep.
This is where it's headed. And after that, the kingdom of the Lord will come in. And, of course, you ask, well, when is this going to be? Well, it's going to be Friday the 13th, 19, whatever, No, we don't know the exact hour, but we do know a roundabout according to the signs, at any rate.
Well, somebody was telling me that April 23rd, the market's going to crash.
Well, they're talking about not just the market crashing. There's been a number of them that's been saying it, telling everybody to enjoy this thing before the enjoy the quiet before the storm, because it's all going to crash. But you know, the bottom line of it is that you know, there's a lot of things happening, and you know, they've all warned about this, and you know, in Scripture we can look in you know, in Revelation, and we can see traces of a globalist downturn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an economic downturn, downturn that's severe. So it's you know, we can see that you know, in Scripture and Revelation. But you know, there's going to be a lot more happen than just that. There's really going to be an economic downturn when the Antichrist comes in, because unless you have his beast, you ain't going to have an economic.
The mark, yeah.
You either take the mark, because if you don't, you're not going to have an economy.
That's right.
You know, your personal economy is going to be, you know, pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I laugh, but, you know, I mean, it's coming, you know. I ain't going to worry about it. I'm not worried about all this stuff. And, you know, if it happens, it happens. You know, God doesn't change, and my faith in him, I just keep plugging on, you know.
Right.
And, you know, what are you going to do? You know, life is life. You know, look at what our grandparents went through and our great-grandparents.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of tough times in this whole earth. Matter of fact, America and all these spoiled brats that are in schools right now, especially the ones that like that hog character that's standing up, you know, and he's the voice for, there was an article the other day, and they asked him, how do you handle a wise mouth conservative or something like that? So he was given his advice on how to handle the conservatives.
Oh, brother.
Because he is a loudmouth, radical, a gun taker. And he got that because he got into this because, you know, what happened at the school shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, a lot of the kids got there in with him, and a lot of other kids around the country. The liberals pushed various actions in schools to get protests, and it was all orchestrated by Democrats and by the left, every bit of it. These are all gun control proponents.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know these people are not going to go away. The division's not going to go away. The hatred's not going to go away. And I just let them go. You know, I don't really care what David Hogg says or what he does.
I'd never heard of him before.
Yeah, it's Hogg. I mean, what do I care? You know, I don't care how famous he is. I don't care what he does. Have fun.
Yeah.
You know, and to be honest with you folks, I'm going to tell you right now, and you might as well hear it. Sometimes, you know, there's that point that the Lord ought to give this country what these people want. Just give it to them, because they're going to go to hell in a handbasket even quicker. Because they don't want to listen to truth. They don't want to listen to the Word of God. They've rejected Christianity in this country. They have gone their own way. And even the churches have fallen off the boat of apostolic true Christianity, the one that Christ handed to the apostles. And so, you know, it's time. You know, one of these days it's going to be time to give this country to those people in this country that just won't shut up, and this is what they want.
Yeah.
But then there's a whole other segment of conservatives that says, no, we're not going to do that. If they want the country, they can have part of it. They ain't going to have the part I'm in, because we're going to fight and we're going to shoot them to keep it. So the inevitability of a civil war, as far as I'm concerned, is probably in the 70% range in the future.
Mm-hmm. That, unfortunately.
There is a 70% chance that there will be a literal civil war in this country, and America will be broken into two portions. One will be a totally globalist liberal, and the other one will be a Christian conservative arena. And of course, that's not scripture. That's just me. So I know that there's a lot of people that do not side with this globalist, and they will fight just like they're fighting in Hungary and a few other places in Europe. Not everybody wants this globalism. Not everybody wants your lies. And there's a lot of people that will fight, and they'll even die. And they'll be glad to die just so they don't have to live in your society. And you'll be glad to kill them, but they're going to be happy too, because they won't have to live with you in your society that is totally anti-God. And this is really what it's coming down to. Unfortunately.
Yes.
You know, and we don't want to see it.
No, that's for sure. I don't want our families to go through it either.
No, we sure don't.
Or the people that listen.
Yeah, well, we're talking about Noah prophecy. I'm going to have to get started on this.
Okay, well, we'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Now, I suppose if there is a scripture, a bunch of scripture that I like, really, really, really like, it's in Isaiah. And if you get into Isaiah 50 and on up, there's a lot. But this is Isaiah 55:1. Now, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now that sounds like what they parlay into socialism or communism, but we know very well that in communist countries and socialist countries, many of them don't have a thing. So this is not socialism or communism. This is the Lord's kingdom. And he's using these particular metaphors, these descriptions. You know, who wants to come and get wine and milk without money? And both of those things signify abundance. Have abundance. And you don't have to worry about money. You know, that mammon. Because mammon is cursed, that's why. And without price, there's no price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now this here, you know, you just relish in these verses, because they are so... poignant. They're so inviting. And if you've ever been thirsty, ever worked out or, you know, gone on a hike, you know, there's nothing better than a cold glass of water to quench your thirst. And there's nothing better than, you know, in the old days, to have a good glass of milk fresh from the refrigerator, especially if it was like my grandparents that had that fresh out of the cow, and it was in their refrigerator in a big jar, and at the top, the cream comes to the top. Even when you separate them, the cream, there'll still be cream left in the milk. And so when you let it set in the refrigerator for a while, that'll go up to the top. And so when you pour yourself a glass of milk, you have this rich, natural, unpasteurized milk with cream on top. It signifies fatness and, you know, purity and the best there is. That's really what it signifies. And, you know, who wouldn't want that? And then it says, let your soul delight itself in fatness. Well, in America, and, you know, especially, we are in a big mode for losing weight, and we don't like fat. But fat, you know, really, you know, like if you were up in the tundra of the Arctic, you can actually get seal fat, and you can use that for a lot of purposes, you know. And, you know, when we talk about the sacrifices in the Old Testament, there's a lot of portions of that animal that also the fat was in there, that they allowed that. But you can also, you know, when you talk about oils, you know, in the old days in the restaurants, we used to take, when we would get in a side of beef and we would trim it down for steaks and roasts, we would take all of the fat and we would run it through our grinder, and then we'd render it. And then from there, you can use it for a lot of things. You can use that for soap, which we did. We used it on the floors with a little bit of lye in that, and a lot of other things. So what I'm saying is that when we look at that, you know, your soul delight itself in fatness, that it, that just represents richness, plenty. You know, a type of thing that you just, it's the best thing that you can have. Your soul is fat and full. And we're not talking about food that does that. We're talking about the living water. We're talking about coming to the one who is the water, who is Yahshua, who leads us to the Father. And he speaks quite openly that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And so this is the picture that Isaiah, as a prophet, is picturing. Now, see, this is interesting, too, because it says, incline your ear and come unto me and hear. Now, see, so he delineates what he's talking about. Come unto me. This is the Lord calling. And your soul shall live. Now, see, Isaiah is given this, and he's not just talking to Israel, you know, Judah, or, you know, he's talking in a tone, prophetically, of something which has come in the sure mercies of David. And, of course, God first revealed this through Abraham when he said, in thee all the nations of the earth would be blessed. What is blessed? Blessed is fatness. Blessed is plenty. You know, blessed is having everything you need. And that blessing of Abraham funneled all the way through the patriarchs, but only went through the one of the promise until it finally went through Isaac. And that's why Ishmael is out of the quarter here when it comes to the sure mercies of David. They can get the sure mercies of David by coming the same way as everybody else does, though. And the sure mercies of David is through the Son of God, or what we would call the greater Son of David, who is Yahshua, or Jesus Christ our Lord. And so this is today now possible for the Gentiles to know the sure mercies of David. There's not a better phrase anywhere in the Bible than these four words, sure mercies of David, which represents those things which God did to David in order to bless him, for David, in order to bless him and his family, and through David in order to reach all those that would understand prophetically that God was going to bring a greater David to come. And that one would have a kingdom whose kingdom would never end. And this is where it begins to describe that in Isaiah in verse 4. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. And that's what David was. But the greater David, the sure mercies of David, says there's a greater one that came. And that is Yahshua who came. And it says, behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew thee not shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Now he has glorified who? David. And we're talking about the greater Son of David. See, David himself was a leader and a commander of the people. He was a warrior king. And the one we know as Yahshua, Jesus, came as a suffering servant. He's coming again as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, as the greater Son of David, to fulfill and sit on the throne of David, which will be in Jerusalem. And he will be a warrior king when he comes again. He will put down the enemies of God. He will rule with a rod of iron. and he will establish righteousness in the earth. And so this is the fulfillment. And of course here, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Now see, this is the invitation to redemption. Of course, this is the Old Testament version. This is one. But then if you get in the New Testament, you know, we have many calls. You know, the Lord himself says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and take upon my yoke, for my yoke is light. And, you know, there is that offer. He says, I am the light of the world. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the door to the sheepfold. He told the Jews, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And when he rose Lazarus from the dead, he told Martha, Mary, and the crowds that were there, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And when he was questioned by his own people about how old he was, he says, before Abraham was, I am, using the word I am that delineates the bush and Moses. When Moses said to the voice and to the one who said he was the God of Israel, who are you and who shall I say sent me? And he says, I am that I am hath sent me. Tell them, I am that I am hath sent me. Well, who are you, God? I am that I am. I have always been. There's never been another. I am that I am. And the Lord comes, you know, Jesus Christ, Scripture says in the New Testament, the same yesterday, today, and forever. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now that Word later on is revealed as the Lord. He is the incarnate Word. The Lord said of himself, he says, my words are spirit and they are life. See, this is the essence of who we believe in. And when we read the prophets prophesied that he was to come. And this is where he is going to tear down kingdoms and principalities. For he has conquered all principalities and powers, and he will rule a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, and his people shall be with him. Make no mistake. And he says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now see, this is the sure mercies of David. Come back. And to Israel, he is saying, come back to your God. To the Gentiles, he makes a way. It says, thou shalt call a nation that you knew not, and nations that knew thee not. Now see, the nation that he did not know was Israel, who he delivered out of Egypt, because Israel left him. He didn't know them. He wanted to know them. He told them to repent. They wouldn't repent. He sent them prophets. They wouldn't listen. And nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee. That's the Gentiles coming in. Oh, dear God in heaven, when you get in Revelation, it says the nations of them that are saved, they will be in the streets of glory. The nations, plural, of them that are saved from every race, creed, and color. They're going to be there. That's where I'm going to be. That's where Tower's going to be. That's where my family's going to be. And that's where as many of you who hear my voice are going to be. Just believe and understand that everything you see down here in America and around the world, there's a lot of manipulation by the devil, by his agents, and by those who don't want you to believe, and they will do anything to lead you astray, to make you sad, to make you upset, to bring you away from the Lord your God. And I'm here to tell you that this God says, come unto me. You thirst, you want the truth, you want to be flushed with blessing. Come unto me, come unto the waters, water will flow out of your being. And you know, it says up in the first verse, he that hath no money. He didn't say, all you rich with all the money in the bank accounts, come to me and you can buy. Well, sure, they can buy. They're rich. But this stuff you ain't going to buy, buddy. This is not going to be bought by your stinking mammon. Your stupid gold that's not even pure. 99.9% pure is not pure gold. The only gold there is in heaven is that which is 100% pure, and it is so pure it's clear you can see through it and they walk on it in heaven. So you make up the choice. And that's what Isaiah in his prophecy is relating. He's speaking to Israel, he's speaking to the nations, he's telling them all, there is going to be a time called the sure mercies of David that's going to be fulfilled. Now when you get in Matthew, and you read in the beginning of all that, you know, the writers of the Gospels linked it for you to understand that the Lord is the Son of David. He is the one to whom they had waited for. Because, to be honest with you, there were never another one in Israel that was as formidable as David was. There wasn't one leader. Not in the Old Testament. Solomon, yes. He was a leader, but he was during peace, and he couldn't have had the peace if it wasn't for his dad who defeated every enemy. And so the kingdom that Solomon was over was a kingdom of richness and a kingdom with a temple and a kingdom where they could have the glory of God descend. But in the end, because of all the wives and Solomon himself even falling against the very word of which he shouldn't have broke, his heart fell away from the Lord himself. Now, many of the Jews teach that that Solomon did repent in later on in his life. However, there's nowhere in Scripture that says that. I don't worry about that. Leave that up to God. The Lord is able to save in an instant. So after the call, he says, seek the Lord while you while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy unto him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Now see, even if you've never known God, you know, the souls, all the souls are the Lord's. He is the Lord of all the souls, this Lord God. And when it says, let him return unto the Lord, you're going to return unto the Lord one way or the other. You're going to stand before this God, because the soul that is in that body, that will eventually be out of that body and stand before this Father and his Son, they will hold you accountable. You're going to return anyway. But see, there's the sure mercies of David that allows you to find forgiveness and blessing and reunite with your God and be abundantly pardoned. And I've said this many, many times, there's no need for you to die and go to hell. No need at all. Not for one person on this earth to die and go to hell. Not one. But the problem is that they're not going to come to him. Even the Lord says, you know, everybody can, they know John 3:16, but by the time you read the whole context of that, you find out the Lord himself, you know, John says in that context that they're not going to come. Because they love darkness more than light. sad, but they're not going to come. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians that they reject the gospel in the latter days. That's the love of the truth, and they will seek another. And that other one is the son of perdition, 2 Thessalonians 2. That's the name that he's given, which describes who he is and what he is, the son of perdition, the destroyer. He is the son of the destroyer. He will destroy as many people as he can. He will appear as an angel of light. Revelation 13, the one that rules and comes is called the beast. And there's another beast that follows him. Both of them work together to deceive the world. And they come directly out of the dragon, who is the beast. Satan, who is the beast. Now, John talks in 1 John, he talks in a lot of his speaking of the Antichrist. And he says, you have heard that the Antichrist is to come, but even now there are many Antichrists. And there is many Antichrists, but see, in the prophets, and even Paul, when we get into Revelation, when we get into Thessalonians, they chose not to use the word Antichrist. We know the word Antichrist, just opposite of Christ. But what the writers were trying to do, or did do, is show you what these characters were like, who they were, what their characteristics were. The one would be a destroyer who would lead people to destruction, and the other one describes his roots, which is in the beast, which makes him 100% evil and all-powerful in this evil, able to control the world. That's the two. So when you put them all together, the one that's coming is a destroyer who will be purely evil, be able to control the entire world, and he will have another one with him. They won't simply be Antichrist. They will appear as God in the temple of God, declaring themselves to be God. They will curse God our Father and Jesus Christ. They will condemn them. They will condemn everything in heaven, and they will condemn anybody on earth that believes in them. They will destroy Israel if they could. They will kill every last Christian if they can find them, and anybody that opposes them, they will destroy. Isaiah, the same one that wrote this, says, when the Lord said this, I will choose your delusions and bring your own fears upon you, because when I called, you did not answer. Well, this in Isaiah 55 is his call. But see, what you have, and this follows even Second Psalms, like we said in the intro of this program, that the world is in the throes of rejecting God and falling away from him. Well, I'm not one of them. I'm here as a declarer of truth, of the Word of God and of Jesus Christ and his Father, and of all those things written in the book. And that is who I am. And that is what I will always be by God's grace. And I'm here to tell you that this God has made a way for all men, no matter who you are today, no matter who you serve today. Yes, God can deliver you, and he can bring you his blessings and pardon. He goes on to say in verse 8, and this is when Isaiah gives this is like the Lord himself saying it, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now see, this is what we like, because he doesn't think like us. His ways are not like us. And while we have the enemy, the wicked, and even those who appear to be all-knowing, they know everything, and they don't believe in God, who get into the Old Testament, and even Obama got into the Old Testament a few times and wisecracked about what was written. Even as president, Obama has no quarter to be able to do that. And I defy any president and any power, human power. When you start wisecracking about our God and you start criticizing the Word of God and who he is, then you're putting a death sentence on yourself, and you will find yourself cursed. Because the one whom you serve is cursed already, and he knows his kingdom is shortening every day, every hour, every second. See, every hour and every day that you're living today, you may look and you may see the bad things coming, but I'm here to tell you, look on it the other way. Every day that you're living, it's one day shorter that the devil's going to reign. Because one of these days, his kingdom and the wicked are coming down. This is not going to last forever, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how many they kill, no matter how bad America and the world is destroyed in the universe. They could destroy everything, and God can create it all anew with us in the new kingdom. So this is a God who is all-powerful. This is a God who is all-knowing, and he could destroy you in a second, O Earth. But instead, he chose to send you his son to die on the cross for your sins and give you mercy. That is the God whom we serve. And if you hear people in Islam or any other nation and they start telling you how bad the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is, you don't believe them. And even if you call them a liar and you wind up dead in their country because you blasphemed them or their God, let it be known around the world that there is only one Lord and one God, and he has one son whose name is Yeshua, Jesus Christ, and the gates of hell will not prevail against him or his anointed. Thus saith the Lord God, defy me at your own risk. Those who love death hate me, saith the Lord. Woe unto thee, O purposed! Woe unto thee, O man who defileth the living God and his pardon, his love, his mercy through his son, Yeshua. But blessed are those who will come. Blessed are those indeed. Now it goes on to say, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now you see, that's abundance. You're not going to have a harvest without rain, nourishing rain on the earth. The earth wouldn't be green. There wouldn't be water here if God hadn't watered it. They say the earth is three quarters water. Well, you can thank your God for that, because he's the one that put the water there. But see, the reason is, all that water signifies something. Abundance, refreshment, life. Now see, in verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. What shall it be? It'll go forth in water. It'll bring forth and bud. It'll give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You can take this word and you can preach it, you can teach it, and those who are hungry can take it and it'll fill their soul and encourage them, and they can make it through another day. So shall my word be, saith the Lord God, that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, never return. Even if you reject that word, it's done what it's intended to do. That word, the word of God, is the word which will judge all men everywhere on judgment day. It will be on that day, the word will be the judge, not me. I preach the word, and the word will find you. And on that day of judgment, it will find you again. And depending on how you deal with the invitation and with the Lord God and his son is how that word will be on that day. It says, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. It shall prosper wherever I send it, he says. If it goes into the closed country of North Korea, it will prosper. If it goes into the country called Pakistan, where they kill Christians and persecute them regularly, it will prosper. if it goes into India, where the radical Hindus are persecuting and killing Christians, it will prosper there. Wherever the word goes on this earth and in this earth, it shall prosper. It will do what God intended it to do. Now see, I like this. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Now see, this is the scene of the millennial reign of Christ. This is a scene of heaven. This is a scene of being with the Lord. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. You know, we don't have the peace and the joy, but one day you're going to go forth out. You're going to be on those streets leading in to the city. And you'll be rejoicing, marching into Zion, a word we use for that kingdom. And be led forth with peace. You'll be led forth with peace. You will know peace. And it says, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing. Yes, you mean they will sing? Well, I'll tell you, I've been up in the mountains on a beautiful day. I get up in the morning, go down, and it's so beautiful. And everything, the birds are chirping, the animals are content, everything is nourished, it's blessed. And you can just see that little picture there. The mountain and the grove and the valley where I was. It's singing in the morning, praises to God. Thank you for your sun. Thank you for the water that makes us vibrant. Yes. But when you get in the millennium, you'll be able to hear it. You'll be able to see beauty like you've never seen. Abundance like you could never have believed, and peace like you could have never known. And it says, they shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Yeah, that's right. They're just going to stand up, pull out of their roots, walk down the road, and start clamping their branches together as hands. Well, literally, they'll stay where they're at, but they will. You will be able to see them, and they will literally, I can envision these trees literally bowing down before God as he goes by. Even the Lord said, I tell you, when he came into the city, that if the people who received him didn't praise, he said the very stones would cry out. Make sure you understand this. You do not know everything that you think you know until you have seen the kingdom which this God has prepared for them that love him and obeys his gospel. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Why? Because there's no more curse. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Why? Because there's no more curse. And it shall be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This kingdom will not be cut off. This is the sure mercies of David. Now, let me give you something from the New Testament. Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He is the one that brought the sure mercies of David. Matthew 1:20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 9:27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Matthew 12:23, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Matthew 21:9, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Now see, there is something you need to do. You need to believe. So when we talk about the sure mercies of David, the sure mercies of David is that covenant which the Lord brought. And the New Testament, the New Covenant, is full of it. The sure mercies of David were never intended to destroy the law, but to be a fulfillment of the law, because it is poured out of God's mercy, which is from his love. The root is love. And love in the Bible and love in the law is one of those things that cannot be disannulled. It is perfect. And that's why the Lord himself urged us to love one another. But see, even as the Lord himself was the Son of David, and he brought God's love, he still knew enough to stand down the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the lawyers, calling them snake and vipers and hypocrites. He called his own people children of the devil. He took a whip and drove the money changers out of the temple. So before you think all this is about love and allowing your enemies to do anything and not saying anything, that's wrong. As Christians, we're not to fear what men will do unto us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind, and we're to speak truth. Those money changers, the Lord could have gone up and kissed them on the cheek and said, well, that's fine, because I'm the Lord of love, and you can just stay here. No. He represents love, but also that which is truth and holy and righteousness. And when he is approached by sin and rebellion and things that are against God, he will come with a whip. The Lord himself says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. In Revelation 22, and I've told you this many times, he says, he that is holy, let him be holy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is wicked, let him be wicked still. And he goes on in that way. Then he says, for I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. That's what he will do, and you can believe it. But see, when you ignore the sure mercies of David, you are accepting the wrath of God. God wants to give you mercy. But you know, the world will not follow mercy. The devil has infiltrated many, many churches, many, many denominations. He's infiltrated governments and high places. And he has more liars and thieves than you. You know, in the old days, we used to say, more than Carter has liver pills. And in those days, Carter had a lot of liver pills. But what it means is there's a whole pile everywhere you look. And everywhere you don't look, there's still someone. Now, we're covering the book of Acts. But I've got an excerpt out of Acts in Acts 13 in this regard. And we're talking about the Noah prophecy, the end of days. And you see, it is so important to understand that even in the time of Noah, God had mercy. More than Noah could have gotten saved if people would have repented, but they didn't repent. The Lord said, as in the days of Noah, he said also, as in the days of Lot, they'll be marrying, giving and marrying, and doing all this other than the end shall be. See, people in these end of days, clear up to the very end, are going to be marrying and burying and living and cursing God. Someone will be blessing God, but the end's going to come one day. The devil knows it. Every one of his minions in hell and around this earth know it. Every angel in heaven knows it, and all those who have gone before us who are in the presence of the Lord right now. As Paul said, to be absent with from the body is to be present with the Lord. Every one of them know it. One of these days, that kingdom is going to be here, kids. And it's time for you to think about this. I've made my choice. And if you think that the pompous attitude of the enemy or whatever you might do is going to change that, you're crazy. Because we've overcome. By the blood of the Lamb, the word of his testimony, we love our lives, not unto the death. Having done all to stand, Paul said, stand therefore. That's at the end of all the principalities and powers mentioned in Ephesians. That's what we need to do. Having done all to stand. Having done all to stand for our family, our loved ones, to do what we can to see them through, to stand up against wickedness, even when we're outnumbered, even when we're going to lose. Because in the end, to die is gain. If you live for Christ, or if you die for Christ, you're still the Lord's. Acts 13:22, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. Now this is Paul explaining. This is in the history of Israel. And he's telling them about who he serves. So he says, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom he also gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed has God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Now see, that is the sure mercies of David right there. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom ye think that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh that one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. And that's where we're at today. In Mark 6:31, and he said unto them, come you yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while, for there were many coming and going. And they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing. And many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities and outwent them and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now, right after this experience is the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. But also, there's a segment in there talking about the rejection that the Lord faced in Nazareth. They wouldn't believe. Now, you see, compassion, love, wanting to help those You know, do you not think that society looks like they are as sheep without a shepherd? Yeah, we've got a lot of leaders around here, but most of them are lost themselves. And you got others who in the flesh are stubbornly intended on destroying other nations. That's what Erdogan's doing. He's planning on destroying Israel. Iran's planning on destroying Israel. Russia and China both are not afraid of America, and they would attack and destroy her as well. When the Lord comes, he's going to destroy those who have destroyed the earth. And make no mistake, that's where some people want to live today, in that mode. You see, in the Muslim religion, you see it all around. And they believe that Islam will rule the world. Now, in order for that to happen, they purpose to make war. That's the way Muhammad did it. The way your God, our God and our Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, is through love, compassion. Totally different fruit, totally different God. One does it by force. And this goes clear back to the beginning of Cain and Abel. One pleased God through a sacrifice and was godly, and the other decided that he was going to kill the godly one and try to please God. We can't kill our way to heaven. We can't destroy the nations and make it force everybody to become one religion in order to win this world for God. Because God doesn't want your world. He made this world, but there's a curse on this world. If the Muslims want this world, they can have this world. It's cursed. It will bring them nothing but a curse. Do you understand that? This earth is cursed. And the heavens, everything in it is cursed. And it needs to be redone. Isaiah 24 said, the curse has destroyed the earth. It's going to happen. God wants you, your soul, in a new heavens and a new earth, with no curse. That's God's kingdom. So you make your choice. Do you want the kingdom that's won through power and war? And even if it isn't Islam that's doing it, you have plenty of globalists like Soros, and that's what they want. You've had Mao through communism. You've had Stalin through socialism and killed millions of their own people. You will never find that utopia on this earth. It is cursed. But you as a Christian in the midst of these end of days can find peace and joy. And you will find that fellowship that you've never known. That, my friends, is one of the most important things when we're talking about the Noahic prophecies. Without God's compassion, you wouldn't even need a Noahic prophecy or anything else. If God didn't have love, he would have never made a way for Noah or Lot. He would have never delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. He would have never sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. This God would have said, forget it. Let them go to hell. That's what they want. No, he didn't say that. He loved you so much, and we used to say this, he stretched out his arms on a cross and he died for your sins. And all he asks is that you'll believe on him. He went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John chapter 1. You want to know him, you need to receive him, believe upon him. You must be born again through the Spirit of God, John chapter 3, and you need to confess your sins, Romans 3 through 7, and also 1 John 1, 7 through 9. Confession is made unto salvation. My friends, tonight, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace and give you revelation into him. May you understand the truth of what we speak about tonight. That Jesus, Yahshua, just didn't pop up just because it was the thing to do. It was prophesied from the foundation of this world. It had already been called into existence. It was going to happen. And now today, the whole thing is ramping up. You have everybody sitting around on this little tiny planet that's about ready to explode in globalism, chaos, and anarchy, and hatred. And God is sending his hand down. His hand is the extended mercy through Christ his Lord. And he's grabbing as many as he can, pulling them out and saving them. Around the world we see people coming to the Lord. Islam can't stop it. Communism can't stop it. Globalism can't stop it. Even Christianity can't stop it. People are coming to the Lord because they've found his mercy, his love. And this is the end of days. And this is one of the greatest gifts of the Noah prophecies. It was the Lord himself who said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. He's the one that delineated it. He's the one that spoke about it. God has not forgotten you. He's not forgotten your planet. But there are things that have to happen. And there's a lot of nasty people here that are not going to quit. And today the devil has given extra sanction to those who are the mouthiest, the wickedest, and those who can do anything they can that will please the enemy. That means the devil. He's given them special sanction. God help us. Without his hand of mercy, without his effort, there would be no life left. But my friends, you have nothing to fear. If you believe in him, he's the one that said it, not a hair of your head will perish. Yeah, you might die. That is your body. But you don't die. And when you get in heaven, I guarantee you, you're going to have a head of the most glorified hair you've ever had. And I can tell you personally, that'll be probably the best head of hair I've had my whole life. Being as, well, I could use a few hairs up there. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Bless those, Father, who have heard this word. Lord, feed them. Encourage them. And help them, Lord. Make a way for them. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness, from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay. Boy, I can hardly wait for the final redemption.
I know.
I'm thankful that in this world today that we have that, the sure mercies of God.
So am I.
Boy, we would just be in a mess without them.
Yeah, and that's where our rest comes in, because we rest on that.
Yes, that's right.
You know, we don't have to fret. You know, and when I talk like this, I remember my mother-in-law and my mother, and of course both our dads. You know, and their lives weren't the easiest. My dad fought in World War II. Of course, your mom had a real struggle. My mom had a real struggle. Your dad had a struggle. And I think of that mercy.
Oh, yes. Amen.
You know, and see, their battle's over.
Yeah, that's right. I'm glad for them. All of them lived a long time.
See, for most people, when they get to retirement age, they envision a big bank account and go retire somewhere and do whatever, you know.
Yeah.
That's not me. I plan on preaching until I don't have breath left. I will preach by God's grace this word. And Tower will be there with me.
That's right.
Because this is who we are. You know, we don't... You know, when I was in Bible college, Tower and I were up there. The one thing we hated as Bible school students was all these ministries that gave free stick pins and Bibles to people who would donate to them. And most of these were huge organizations, you know, their people, you know, their evangelists were making tons of money, living in huge houses. See, I don't give out free stick pins. I don't give out, you know, free Bibles with your name on it because you give to me. You give to the Lord's work. We preach the Word of God. And it's not about money. Although you need money to be able to get the websites going and do everything that you do. You need money. But that's also why I tell you to help those who are overseas, the ministries that work overseas. There are Christians that don't have Bibles. And you can donate to certain Barnabas Aid, for instance. You can look it up on the internet. They're looking for donations from people who will give them money so they can give out Bibles to a certain group of Christians who don't have Bibles. It's more than about us, folks.
That's right.
So at any rate, we are here in the last days, but we're glad it's the weekend, and we're glad that you joined us.
Yes, amen. We are.
And these days go by fast.
Unbelievable. But it's just one day closer to the coming of the Lord.
Well, it is, you know, and When you consider that, you know, we were young pups, really, considering what we are now, when we were in Bible school. And that was a long, long time ago. A lot of water under the bridge.
Well, that's for sure.
You know, and, you know, our grandkids are raised. Not all of them, but...
Sort of raised.
Well, our kids are raised too, but they're also sort of raised. We still got a mother and dad. Mother! Yes, well, God loves families.
That's right.
He does love families. And the Lord has given you mercy, and you can thank God for it. You need to avail yourself of it. We've talked about that. The choice is yours. It's not my choice, it's your choice. We all had to make the choice.
Yes, we did.
But, you know, when I see what's happening in America and around the world, I just shake my head. I'll go through the list and I'll just shake my head. You know, because we have a lot of fools today in America. We really do. And their way of living is foolish. We don't want to listen to the truth in this country.
Most people, seems like, don't want to hear the truth, but there are others that will listen.
Well, you know, when you and I covered, you know, on this last Wednesday, we were talking about the Christianity, those that are persecuted overseas, but we did some stories where they were good stories of people who had gotten saved.
You know? Yeah, Muslims getting saved.
Yeah. And so we must not forget that God is still in the soul-saving business.
Amen. He is. He'll never quit that.
So at any rate, we're glad you joined us this weekend.
Yes.
The good Lord willing, in the creek don't rise. We're going to try to get back on track with our Healthy Young Living podcast. We did it Monday, I think it was.
Yeah, instead of Sunday.
Because we were so busy on Sunday, couldn't get to it. But we got another one that we're doing. And, you know, we do have the main websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, gethealthyyoungliving.com. And check out the websites. You'll find a lot of writing on there. I do have another book coming out, and we're working on getting that done as soon as my proofreader gets done reading it.
Yeah.
I can't tell you who she is.
She's no English major, though.
But at any rate, we're glad you joined us. Look to the Lord, and one day, you know, we may not see you here on earth, but maybe one day.
We look forward to seeing you in eternity.
Yeah, we do.
God bless you, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
That's right.
Have a great weekend.
When we get up in heaven, everybody, when the end comes, be sure to look me up on that street of glory. Okay? Might be kind of hard to find Tower and I because we won't be married then, but we will be glorified. Thank God for that. But yeah. Paul says we shall be known even as we ourselves are known today. So we'll look forward to seeing you. Until then, be faithful, folks. Look up to him. God bless.
God bless. Good night, everybody.
We thank you for joining us today on Warn Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.